And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are blessed with the author, Sharon Jeffers, who has authored a book called Love and Destiny, Discover the Secret Language of Relationships. Sharon is a natural-born mystic since her childhood. She's a third-generation clairvoyant who also hears and perceives. She began studies in numerology and astrology at age 13 and began doing readings with playing cards at age 21. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Lori.
You know, I have always played and worked with the tarot, so reading this book has been a very interesting transition. I always knew you could use, you know, the playing cards as an oracle, but I never really, I always kind of relayed them back to the tarot, and I did my own way, and it was not the way everybody else did them.
And,
but, you know, it was interesting, and I remember, I think, probably my very first reading, or maybe second reading by a psychic, she actually used playing cards, and I was really fascinated, because it was very different. So I was quite intrigued and very interested in reading your book. I thought it was quite well done, very interesting. We'll talk about the synchronicities of as I was doing it for myself, how that sort of came up. But, you know, usually when we start the show, we talk about, you know, how you sort of began your journey and how it got you to where you are. So obviously, your journey started pretty young.
Yes, it did, and that was a really long time ago. it did. I was fascinated with numerology at a young age. Numerology, astrology, and Edgar Cayce.
Mm.
And I spent a lot of time. I mean, when I was in grade school, I took astronomy classes after school because I was so fascinated mm-hmm. with the solar system. And then when I got a little older and I found out about astrology, then my attention went there and then to numerology. And, of course, when I discovered Edgar Cayce, it was like, oh, my goodness. It just seemed so familiar to me.
Mm.
And when I was 21, I began reading playing cards spontaneously. I didn't have any books or anything. I just started laying the whole deck out.
Hmm.
And when I came upon this system that I now use, which I refer to as the mystic science of the cards, I was surprised that it reminded me of that time when I would just lay the whole card deck out, and I would lay out rows of seven cards and put three at the top, and all the spreads that are in this system, there are 91 of them, are laid out just that way. Each spread for each year of our life,
mm.
so the life spread, our spiritual spread, they're all laid out in rows of seven with seven planetary influences and three cards at the top, and and of course, this system is associated with the calendar, the card deck as a calendar. But that, it started very young for me, and I always felt different. You know, I'd always see things before they happened, and of course, I wasn't in an environment that supported any of this. Mm. So
it's all secret done, all secretly done.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into the ancient order of the Magi?
I came upon a book in 1990 that, you know, I was having one of those experiences where you're in a store and you feel like there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about to leave because I didn't find it. And I turned around and I saw a book, a spiral brown blue book that had the card symbols on the front of it. And the book, The Sacred Symbols of the Ancients, was written or published in 1947.
Cool.
So I took it home, and it was like, oh, it was like finding an old friend. And I just began exploring.
Nice.
And discovering how accurate it was. That's what is so mind-blowing about it.
And did it correlate to what you've already been doing with the playing deck? Like, did it?
No.
No?
Well, it did in the sense of how they were laid out, but I hadn't done that for a long time.
Oh, okay.
But what it, you know, the card deck was originally a calendar, and it was used for timekeeping as well as divination, but it completely associates with our calendar with 52 cards in the deck and 52 weeks in the year and 12 court cards and 12 months and four seasons and four suits. And with each season, there's 13 weeks, and with each suit, there's 13 cards. And if you add up the entire deck, it's 364. And when you add the Joker, it's 365. There's actually a song and a story about this that's been done by many artists that's from World War I, about a soldier with a deck of cards and how he explains this relationship. And I don't know if that was from World War I, but it was somewhere back there. But so, you know, it felt familiar and it made sense. Mm-hmm. And it was new to me when I discovered it in 1990.
Hmm. Now, love and destiny is just a small piece of the puzzle. This is really our connection to relationships and how our relationship is a separate entity and how we can work through, you know, our challenges. And what made you want to write on this? I mean, it's a topic that seems to be very popular and lots of people want to know about their relationship. And I think it's a great book. What was the driving force behind that?
The driving force behind writing that book was seeing how our relationships really are entities unto themselves. And when we step into a connection with another person, something else is created. And that which is created, which we call relationship, is it has its own agendas. It has its gifts, it has its challenges, it has learning opportunities. I mean, there's so much there, and it affects each one of us. I always used to wonder when I was younger, why do I feel one way with somebody and completely different with someone else?
Hmm.
It was very confusing to me when I was younger. It was like with one person, I'd feel completely free to be myself, and I wouldn't even think about it. Somebody else, I wouldn't even talk. And everything in between and imaginable, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I started exploring how our relationship connections in the cards, according to our birthday, because each day of the year is governed by a card, and therefore, because we have a birthday on one of those days, we have a card governing a life path that we have and a spiritual path. And it gets very deep and it's very, you know, accurate and it's very detailed too.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw, you know, not only that there's a card governing or cards, because we have a birth card, a soul card, a spirit card, and a planetary ruling card. So I show you in the book how to do all four of those cards because they're all different aspects of who we are and how we manifest ourselves, and also the same for our relationships. And it just was making so much sense. And then when I started sharing it with people, people were blown away by how accurate it was. And I just felt like, this is really important information. It's important for us to, you know, relationships give us the opportunity to see who we are ourselves and to gain greater understanding. And I saw it as a tool for that. And I felt that it was important,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think...
so if for, because even, you know, for a parent and a child mm-hmm. or siblings or lovers or co-workers or a boss, you know, an employer and an employee, it's like, and also what I explain in the beginning of the book is that each one of these card delineations for relationships also defines how we, having that as our birth card, show up in relationships and what happens with us. And it's just, writing that book was a bit, I think it was like birthing an elephant, not being an elephant. It was really like a major experience.
Mm.
Felt like there were a lot of forces, you know, that were sort of directing me.
Nice. And certainly relationships are, you know, a major part of our lives, and regardless of what the relationship is, like you said, could be our coworker, could be our child, it could be our intimate relationship. But I mean, relationships are really everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we grow. It's how we become who we are. And you certainly talk a lot about that. In the beginning of the book, you ask a lot of questions about, you know, what drives us to be in a relationship. Is it the need to be loved? Is it need to love others? Is it because we feel empty when we're alone? And I think there are some people that feel empty and alone when they're in a relationship. You know, are we meant to share our lives intimately with others? You know, what did you come up with some of those? I mean, what is your feeling around our relationships?
You mean what drives us
yeah.
to want to relate?
I think so.
Well, first of all, I feel as you do that, you know, we're in relationship with absolutely everything in this physical existence, whether it be other people or, you know, money or things or our creativity, but our primary relationship is with ourselves. And I think that at different times, people are driven by all those different things. And I think as we move through time and evolve and grow as individuals, you know, we have different experiences. And I also believe that every person that we draw to us is for us to see, you know, a very specific aspect of who we are, because I do believe that we are mirrors for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And when I know, when I reached a point where I would look at myself in a relationship to see what was going on instead of looking at the other person and thinking it was them that was creating something that I didn't like or whatever. When at one point it just turned around, it was like, okay, this person is reflecting how you're in relationship with yourself, Sharon. So let's go in that direction. And once I did that, it changed how I was in relationship with everybody.
Hmm.
You know, adding then, you know, seeing this aspect of this mystic oracle that, you know, reveals why you feel free with one person and why you maybe withdraw and become more reflective with another, or, you know, why those dynamics are happening is because there are influences that are governing that are real clear about their agendas. I mean, when I look at the card deck, it's not, you know, each one of these cards is like an entity to me. It's like an entire universe, and each one leads to the next. And when you look at the whole deck like that and you realize that everybody is a part of that deck, it's like there is no deck if one card is missing. Mm-hmm. So we all are in this together, and there are so many different ways that we can see that, you know?
Yeah. And you know, you talked about how, you know, we're all one and that we're connected. And I mean, that certainly fills in with what you just said. And, you know, whether it's our limited perception, our unconscious beliefs that keep us from embracing our oneness, or whether it's our lack of awareness, or whether it's our feeling of separation, but we tend to, you know, all feel that we're on this journey all on our own. And certainly, you know, and I think about this, and I think, you know, the greatest relationship, as you say, is the one with ourselves. And we have to really, you know, learn and understand us before we can really thrive, I guess, in a blissful, balanced and harmonious relationship with another.
Mm-hmm.
And while reading this book, you know, certainly doing the composite reading on the relationship that I'm in, and it's a very funny story because I was with someone for 16 years, and I'm now with someone for 2 years, and they had the same date of birth. So it was
that happens a lot.
Really?
Yes, it happens a lot.
Yeah, it kind of freaked me out.
Well, what's your card?
My birth card? Or the composite? My birth card is a 3 of diamonds and his is a 4 of diamonds. And our composite for the birth is the 7 of hearts. And in the first relationship, what was lacking was a spiritual connection, which I certainly have in this one.
Yes, and you have to have with that card.
Yeah.
Because that card represents spiritual love. Well, the 3 and the 4 of diamonds, think about them. They sit side by side in the deck.
That's true.
So they travel through eternity together. That's a profound past life connection and someone that you always connect with in one way or another every lifetime.
Yeah, it's definitely a profound relationship. In both of them were. I mean, both men were, you know, beautiful souls that, you know, love dearly. That it just, as I was going through it, going, oh, goodness, it's the exact same. I mean, I knew that because not only is it the same day and month, it's also the same year. So it was kind of a all-in-one freak
oh,
me out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, very
so. So, what birthday is that? What's your astrological sign?
Aquarius, January 24th.
And the 4 of diamonds?
September 7th.
Virgo. So, 4 diamonds, 2 of spades. You know, another interesting thing about this is that the first card in the 3 of diamonds life path is the 8 of spades, you know, after the birth card, which is the 3 of diamonds. And the first card in the 4 of diamonds life path is the 2 of spades.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's not always the case.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the only place that does happen. So that's really interesting because those first cards in your life path are Mercury cards, and they represent how you communicate. So, you have the 8 and 2 of spades in Mercury. So there's a profound connection when it comes to communication. That's pretty karmic, you know.
Yeah.
I'm being really like...
Yeah.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting.
It's a fascinating system. And, you know, in this system, we do have a 13-card life path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our birth presents, it's like our soul's expression. I always do it as letter to the ball being life. And then we have a spirit card, which represents our inner world and that which really wants to be expressed.
Right.
And it's also, you know, our inner psyche and what goes on in the inner workings of our mind. And then we have a soul card, and that card represents a gift that we bring into this life with us and the wisdom that we carry. And that wisdom wants to be expressed through the expression of that spirit card. And both of those want to express through the birth card, because the birth card represents how we move, you know, through time and the cycles that we have in life and all the influences that work with us. And then we have a planetary ruling card, which is determined by our astrological sign. And that card determines how we actually do move in our lives and how people see us and often how we think of ourselves. So there's a lot going on, and it's all based in time. And in this system, it's clear to see that the card deck, you know, being its original use being a calendar, is actually a matrix. It's the matrix of time. And so it gives us perspective as we move through time, with the influences that are interacting with us in large cycles and smaller cycles and, you know, and day by day if we want. I mean, it's really quite mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, the way you discuss, like, I like to talk again about how, you know, our relationships, you know, we create this separate entity, which is really, you know, the key to understanding how the cards connect or interconnect with one another and how we as a couple interconnect and whether, you know, whatever relationship it is. And I also thought it was interesting when you did an example and, you know, you brought the child into it. So when the child is there in the relationship, it continues to impact it in a completely different way than when, you know, the couple is by themselves.
Yes.
So it's a very interwoven dimension that we're creating as we're creating these relationships.
Yes. You know, I was doing an interview on a show a few months ago, and the host asked me about her and her husband, and then the daughter that they had. And her and her husband had this really dynamic, communicative, really like connected relationship. And then when their daughter was born, it went into a whole different kind of relationship. It was all about learning from relationship, making sacrifices in that relationship, and constantly being faced with whether you were choosing to be a student of life or be disappointed. Really challenging relationship dynamic. And when I was explaining that, you know, she realized that it was so true. And the beauty is that, and this is why I wrote the book, Lori, is because it's like, this is the situation and here's what you can do. If you're aware of what's going on, then you can understand, like, you've seen that at the end of each one of the relationship delineations, I have the four keys to the kingdom of that card, and the four things the relationship most needs to thrive, and the things we need to do to give to the relationship. But you know, what you were saying, it's like, it's almost like stepping into a bubble when we come together with somebody else. I've done a lot of work with people, relationship work with couples and individuals. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll create an imaginary circle on the floor and have them step in and out of it. And most of the time, when they're in there together, they just sort of disappear. They go blank. You know, they disconnect because they're not really in the relationship. And what I found is having an understanding of what the relationship is helps you to be in it with conscious awareness and then make choices from a more informed place. Mm-hmm. And no matter what we're doing in life, you know, the more information we have, the better. That's what the club suit teaches us.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, there's like the challenges and there's always the opportunities. So you always end, like you're always giving both, you know, ways of seeing the challenges also as opportunities to expand and to assist where it's necessary. And you also, in your book, do mention that, you know, there are some composites that you, you know, don't recommend getting together because it would be very challenging.
I do tell people to think twice.
Yeah, and hopefully they're just dating by this point and they're not actually married, but yeah.
Well, and even if they are,
yeah,
or they decide to go forward, then at least they know, you know, this is what you need to do if you're going to be in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I believe, you know, that I believe we make those choices for a reason. And I even say in each one of the reports, you know, it's likely that you drew this relationship to you because da-da-da-da-da. You wanted to learn this, or maybe you needed, you know, wanted the support to express, because some relationships really empower us as individuals, you know, yeah. And then there are some that make us more codependent or... It's quite amazing. It's fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. And they're all lessons that we need to learn, and they're all things that, you know, are part of also, I guess, making choices. You know, we have so much more power than we realize, and we think, you know, we're these victims, and yet we can all be completely empowered, especially if you read parts of the book where, you know, you do mention the challenges and the obstacles and, you know, the key areas that, you know, will help you, you know, become more compatible if you work on them. And, you know, it makes me think about all the times where people get into relationships where they're, you know, they're really not thinking consciously and, you know, they're repeating certain patterns that have been in their life many times. And, you know, are we growing? Are we making the choices? Are we attracting the people and the things that we're wanting out of a relationship? And I think, you know, often those are tough decisions and tough choices that we have to look at as to, you know, why are you in this relationship? Is it another pattern that you're repeating? Are you helping yourself learn the pattern? Are you, you know, would you make a different choice? Is this the type of relationship you want to be in?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like you, for instance, being with a person, two people born on the same birthday, and going from one type of relationship in the first one to another level, being in the same kind of relationship, right?
Yeah.
With greater understanding. And yeah, when we make our choices from a conscious place, it's a different ballgame altogether.
Yeah.
And it's something we have to do every moment, isn't it?
It does seem that, yes.
Yeah. Like, nobody's letting us off the hook.
Yeah. Yes. So we talked about the different birth cards, the birth card, the spirit card, the soul card, and the planet card. Why don't we talk about the symbols of the cards? So we're looking at hearts, clubs, diamonds,
ooh,
and spades.
One of my favorite topics.
Oh, good.
It is. Because they are those symbols, and they have an order. The heart suit, the club suit, the diamond suit, and the spade suit. And they represent the four aspects of the human experience: emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. And the heart suit represents love and people and family and home, and it's childhood and the beginning of our life, and it's the beginning of humanity as well. It's the birthing of the soul. The Ace of Hearts is the first card in the deck, and the Ace of Hearts is the card that represents the conception of life, the conception of love. Very often when that card is shows up in a reading in someone's chart, there's either a conception of a baby or a new pet or a new home. Often it's a conception of a child.
Nice.
And, you know, it's the heart suit is, it's the feeling aspect of who we are as humanity and as individuals. And, you know, the lower unconscious side of this suit is self-destruction. It manifests that way. Self-destruction, self-absorption, addiction, you know, it can be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
The high side is compassion. The heart suit teaches us compassion. And hearts love to be with people. I have a friend on Kauai, and she described this once, and I love to use this example because it's so perfect that, you know, if you were in a classroom teaching and you gave the children a project, all the little hearts would want to gather together at a table and do it. They would want to be together and work together. They like to be with people. They don't particularly like to be alone. People, being with others helps them feel who they are. And they process their information through their feelings. Something you tell them has to go through their feelings first. Then we have the club suit, which represents the mental realm and all things having to do with the mind, learning, teaching, research, you know, it's expression, all those things having to do with the mental realm. And on the challenge side, the club suit can become neurotic, can become mentally, you know, psychotic, with how it's that would be the downside. I think the neurosis goes with the, well, no, it goes with the club. So, And you know, they need information to feel stable. So in that classroom situation when the project is given, the clubs run off to gather information on their own. They, to them, thoughts are real. They're tangible, real things, like building blocks. Ideas are real. They need information, and a lot of times they won't take action until they feel they have enough information. And sometimes they stifle themselves because they get too much information, or they so many concepts around the thought that then they get stuck. What the club suit teaches us ultimately is understanding. So we've got compassion with the hearts, and we've got understanding with the club. Then we've got the diamond suit, which represents, you know, higher values, and values in general, and money, anything having to do with finance, the material plane, and manifestation. Diamonds are action-oriented, so when they get the project orders, they just run out and do it. And most of the time, they don't get enough information. So, you know, the clubs get to learn from the hearts to feel, because the clubs get stuck in their thoughts. And the diamonds get to learn from the clubs to think before acting. Because diamonds like to just, and I'm a double diamond, so I know this, you know, diamonds like to just, okay, that's a great idea, let's go do it. Now the spades, no, so diamonds can be very cutting. They're sharp. They're also, you know, conduits light, just as the gem is, the precious gem, right. The diamond. So, you know, the high side of the diamond is to leave people better off than they were when the low side would be to get become obsessed with greed. And then the spade suit, which represents spirituality, in the classroom setting, the spades would work diligently to do it just right, probably harder than they needed to, and then they would tell the little diamonds and the little clubs and the little hearts what they forgot. They're very serious about everything. And, you know, the high side of the spade suit is, you know, self-mastery and wisdom. And that's gained through determination and diligence. However, the detrimental aspect of all this is working too hard and getting stuck and becoming fixed in attitudes and ideas. So, you know, every card and every suit has, you know, and every number has, you know, a challenge side and an unconscious side. It has a mundane expression, and then it has a spiritual expression and an exalted expression as well.
Right.
And a wisdom that it carries. I am madly in love with the four suits. I mean, to me, you know, sometimes I feel like Alice in Wonderland, you know. It's like I'm looking around at people and they just look like cards with heads and arms. And I'm just like fascinated by the whole thing because it's so accurate. And I've been working with this system since 19 years. And I feel like and every day it reveals something new to me. You know, if I'm doing a reading for somebody, and when I do a reading, I don't lay cards out as in fortune telling or like we do with the tarot deck.
Right.
I actually am reading these 91 plates of time. And, you know, it was a fabulous and mind-boggling moment when I realized that time was, you know, fixed, and we were just dropping in and moving through and having a relationship with it, and then leaving. And that's, you know, there's so much revealed here. It's pretty amazing.
It sounds very amazing. So you work, so there's, each person has 13 cards, and so would you... And they all relate to the time as well? Like they're all... How would you do a reading? Now I'm curious, and we'll get back to the book.
Okay. Well, we have a 13-card life path.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually more cards than that in our life path. There are 52 cards in the deck. And we have a 13-card vertical life path and a 13-card horizontal life path. Mm-hmm. So that's 26 cards. And then we have the same in our spiritual path. So that's really 52 cards. And it's not always the whole deck, but ultimately they all meet with each other. They never part. But each one of the cards in our life path, for instance, in our 13-card life path, you know, the first 8 cards represent 13-year cycles in our life. And so those cards are governing us at those times. And so, you know, every little jack of hearts that's born, they have 2 9s in their life path right off the bat. And the jack of hearts is a card of sacrificial love. And life isn't stable for them. there's loss, there's disappointment, there's abandonment, there's abuse. All those kinds of things happen to them. You know, so each card has very karmic influences. And, you know, sometimes people say to me, well, if I have, how does that work? If I have the same birthday as somebody else, we have the same life path. And the example I use for that is that if you and I were hiking in the woods, you know, we were walking on a path side by side, we'd be on the same path. And we'd be there at the same time. However, we'd be having very different experiences. You know, you would be smelling certain things. I would be smelling other things. We would each be perceiving the colors in our own way and, you know, the sounds. And we would be, I would see one thing, you would see another. And we'd be thinking different thoughts. We'd be feeling differently as our feet were meeting the earth as we were walking. You know, it would be a totally individual experience for each of us, even though we were walking the same path.
Right.
And that's how it is in this system. So when I do a reading for someone, I first look at their life path. You know, the first reading I do with somebody, I always talk to them about their life path and where they are in that path and time. And then I look at their 7-year cycle and their yearly cycle and the 3-month cycles and then the year and the 52-day cycles. There are all these different cycles going on at once.
Mm.
But, you know, I really look first at the life path and then at the 7-year cycle because they're profound. They're just these umbrellas of influence that really have to do with what this time is about in a bigger way. And then each year brings in the more specific information, and then the smaller cycles get even more specific.
Mm.
It's quite amazing. You know, I just moved a week ago.
Mm.
And I had my birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And when I looked at my cards for my birthday, my age this year, I noticed that my King of Diamonds birth card went into the Nine of Clubs house.
Hmm.
Well, the person, the owner of the house that I just leased is a Nine of Clubs. I just moved into his house.
How cool is that?
In the cards, yeah. I moved into the Nine of Clubs house.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, this kind of stuff shows up all the time.
Huh.
It's quite amazing.
Hmm. Wow.
It's quite amazing.
Do you want to talk about the power of the numbers, the numerology?
Oh, yes, the numbers.
Yeah.
See them also as characters, as entities. They're just so alive to me. And, you know, the ace, in power, the ace is the highest card in the deck.
Right.
And it's funny whenever I see that's a poker player. Because they want to argue with me, especially if they're an ace, that they're like the highest card in the deck, you know, or the suit. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but it's really the king, because the king's wearing the crown, and the ace represents number one. And so as we move through the numbers and the ace being one, you know, there's no reflection for the ace. So the ace moves, you know, driven by desire, oftentimes not even knowing what that desire might be. They're just so driven by that. It's like torpedo-like energy. I have a friend who has a 2-year-old, and he's an ace of diamonds, and she calls him the ace of torpedoes. And it's really that kind of energy. It's very self-focused. They can be very selfish. I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's just who they are, and that's the energy they carry. And they teach us all that it's important to have that self-focus and be one with ourselves. Then we come to the two, and it's the two aces or the two ones facing each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a reflection and there's consideration and the opportunity for communication and union and cooperation. Of course, it can also become codependent.
Mm.
And then we go to the three, where now there's a whole new expression that comes forth from the two coming together. Another one is birth. And that's the same as two people coming together in a relationship, and boom, something else is birthed, which is what this book is based on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, are you familiar with my first book, Cards of Destiny?
No, I'm sorry. I wish I was.
I have all the birthday delineations in that book. It's called Cards of Destiny, a birthday book and daily divination guide.
Mm.
But, you know, I delineate the birthdays in there. So three is like this expressive energy that bursts outward and is completely open. Three is a number of creativity where, you know, one is self-absorbed and two is about communication and connection. Three is all over the place. You know, it's a number of expression and creativity, and there's constant new energy moving. So we take that energy and then we take it to four and give it a foundation.
Mm.
Four is all about building foundation, building structures, creating walls. I always think of a box when I think of the number four, because now we need a foundation for these creative ideas that are springing forth from that three energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once we contain that energy, then we need to explore more, because we don't want to get stuck, and that's where the five comes in. And the five is all about change.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take it to the next level. Let's take it to the next experience. Fours are here to build the foundation, but then five comes along and says, let's experience, let's explore, let's discover, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the number of change. It's also the number that represents the human being. We have five fingers on each hand. We have five toes on each foot, usually. And when we stand with our arms out, we've got five points. So the five is not here to accomplish or build. The five is here to keep things moving, keep things fresh, you know, turn up the heart, drive the mind to explore, really search underneath things to discover what their value is. And from all those experiences, then life changes. And then the six comes and says, okay, let's bring some balance and harmony to all of this now.
Right.
And it pulls us in. You know how the number six turns into itself? Pulls us in to dream, to consider. And then the seven comes along and refines everything. Seven is the number of refinement.
Hmm.
It's also the number that represents spirituality, so the refinement needs to be with integrity. And then eight. In ancient times, eight was the number that represented heaven and earth, the two circles on top, one on top of the other. And eight is where four is like the foundation, eight is like the mountain that sits on the foundation. It's the power from the beginning with the eighth, and the evolution up to the eighth brings now, we've refined all of these experiences in this self-awareness, and now we stand in our power with it. And then the nine comes and says, you have to let go of all of this. Die now and be reborn. Be recreate and reinvent yourself relative to who you think you are, how you think, period, what your values are. And the nine says, you are a member of the global family. of the universal family. You are not that singular ace that you thought you were, and you're not that person that you thought gathered all these experiences. And it's the number of initiation into the 10, which embraces all and is the number of accomplishments. And then the Jack is the initiate. And the Queen rules through service, and the King self-mastery. So when you apply these things to each one of the suits, they wear a very specific face. And they have a definite agenda. We're working on your heart. We're working on your mind. We're working on your integrity. And we're working on your wisdom. It's really incredible. It's like endless. You know, I have two books now that I'm working on. One is about kids in the cards.
Oh, nice.
And the other one, because it's a guide for parents and teachers and caregivers of children, and it's for the kids themselves. And the other is about, you know, this cosmic egg that we are in the cards. And what that means, and, you know, the power that we embody. Because when I look at the soul card and the spirit card and the birth card, I see the birth card as our manifestation in this life, us as a person. And the soul card is like our seventh chakra, right? And our third eye, and that spirit card is—it's our na'au, as they say in Hawaiian. It's what's inside. It's that substance that we are that wants to express itself. So you know, it can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. There's so much information.
There really is.
One card is like an entire creation. You know, you can. When I look at them, they look like doorways to me. Portals. Portal would be better.
And I can tell that you're very passionate about it. It's really your...
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my passion.
Well,
I actually haven't talked about the cards for a couple of weeks because I've been moving.
Right. Yes.
Big move. So, you know, it's like, I'm really excited to be doing this right now. Thank you. And it's really nice to connect with you as well.
Thank you. So is there anything else that you would like to talk about with this book? I mean, it's so much information, it's hard to, unless we ask for more examples of, you know, different people. And how they sort of fit in.
Well, you know, I think the thing that I would like people to know is that, you know, I wrote the book in a way that it would be very easy for people to understand and work with. Did you find that to be true?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that was my main intention. It's like that it would be user-friendly. I got an email from a pro golfer in Florida who had gone to Borders to meet his daughter for lunch. And my book was out on the table. And, you know, the cover is so beautiful. and he said the book was so beautiful he had to pick it up. And then he started reading and he couldn't stop. And this was not a realm of, you know, it's not the kind of book, if he knew what was in there, that he would normally pick up and read.
Sure.
And he said, and then he showed it to his daughter. He said he just kept reading and reading and reading. And then he showed it to his daughter, and she looked at her marriage. And she was so happy because he said that astrology repeatedly tells her that her and her husband aren't compatible. And in my book, I defined their relationship as it is, and they actually have a really beautiful relationship. And, you know, one of the things, and astrology is part of this system in that the planetary influences and astrological signs are taken into consideration. Planetary influences relative to the cards, not in the astrological chart. But they always line up with the astrological chart, the life path stuff. It's really interesting. But, you know, an Aries king of diamonds is going to be a completely different creature than an Aries, you know, six of clubs. So it's not just about our sign. And what the cards do is they bring more personalization to this. And so I really wanted to make that available in the book, and I did it in a way that would make it easy to... In fact, I was surprised at how people would just pick it up and immediately figure it out and go, oh, well, this is my relationship. And I was like, wow. Because my publisher actually took a page out in the back, and they moved it into the front and just integrated it into the front, telling people how to do it.
Right.
And I had it in front of the reference charts. And when I saw that, I freaked out. I said, oh, no, people aren't going to know how to do this. And then I'd hand somebody a book, and 3 minutes later, they'd already figured it out. And I thought, oh, okay, I don't have to freak out about that. Wow. So, you know, it's a tool. It's a reference guide, and it's something... that can be used all the time, forever, because we're always in relationship.
Yeah. I found it very fascinating, and, well, again, my freaky little story, but although apparently it's not that freaky.
It's not, actually.
That surprises me, kind of. I don't know why, but, yeah.
No, that happens a lot.
And do you think it's just karma that we're still... I don't know. I mean, like I said, yeah. Like it was 16 years. I mean, he was a wonderful, wonderful man. I just, the spiritual aspect was missing, and that became a major part of my life. And so, everything else about it, though, was, I mean, he was just lovely. Like there was nothing, you know, wrong other than there was a part of me that needed to be met. And so it was a little surprising. So I kind of have the best of both worlds right now because I have, you know, the solid stability of a Virgo and everything that goes with that, plus the spirituality, which, you know, makes it everything that I wanted. Although you said something about the Jack of Hearts, and that is our, when our planets come together, that's what our composite is. What is that?
Oh, your
sacrificial
planetary ruling guards is a Jack of Hearts.
Sacrificial love, is that what you said?
Well, it is a card of sacrificial love. The Jack of Hearts, it shows us the way of the heart. It's initiation into the heart. Because remember, the Jacks are the initiates.
Yes.
And they are the initiators. So the Jack of Hearts initiates us into the heart realm, the realm of the heart.
We have a Jack in our spirit as well, a Jack of Spades.
Which is a card of the spiritual initiate. These are also highly creative influences and can bring a lot of inspiration.
Yes, it's very interesting. Well,
So when you look at those different cards, and I explain this in the book, so the listeners know, when you look at the birth card of the relationship and the spirit card and the soul card and the planetary ruling card, I explain in there that each one of those composite combinations is a different expression of the relationship.
Right.
You know, the soul card of the relationship is the wisdom that you have to draw from and the gifts that come from that. That are blessing the relationship, right? And the spirit card of the relationship is that which wants to be expressed. And I really believe, from my own personal experience and from watching other people, that when we express our spirit card, when we live that, we are happy. We are happy puppies. because that is what wants to be expressed from us. And the soul card wants to be expressed through us. And so, you know, when you look at all those aspects of the relationship, then I think it makes understanding a relationship much more exciting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the extra little bit that comes with this. It's like, you know, oh, wow. Well, look at this.
Yeah.
And look at these possibilities. And we can either go there or not. You know, it's always a choice at every moment whether we're going to be a creator or a victim.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what a pleasure this has been. I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I think it's probably a good tool for everybody who wants to be in a relationship or in a relationship to help strengthen and create a more harmonious bond with your partner, your spouse, your children, your work environment. I think you could. It's very multi-dimensional in helping you understand the weaving that takes place in our lives that and how the relationship is this separate entity. And I think it's a brilliant book on helping people understand that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I believe I sent you a friend request on Facebook.
Yes, I actually accepted you as my friend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I missed that.
I think I did that yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I'm still busy getting my computers up and everything at home.
So crazy, I know.
I'm actually in New York right now.
How
I had to come up here. I'm doing a live in-studio radio interview at 2 in the morning.
Oh, dear.
So this is good being here with you right now. I'm glad we're doing it at the time we are.
Yeah, I thought that's a little bit nicer than, well, have a pleasant evening.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and let's connect again.
Yes, and if people want more information, they can go to my website, which is starofthemagi.com, and they can look and read about their card and whatnot there.
Mm-hmm. And all that information will be on my website probably within half an hour. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Lori, thank you so much for having me on your show.
It was my pleasure.
I really enjoyed talking with you. It's been nice.
All right. So take care. Have a great evening, but also have a great Easter weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Okay.